adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network. Cool.
Good afternoon and welcome to another featured author special on the Artist First Radio Network. Richie K here in Studio A, and today my guest is Susan Taylor Shire, the author of three books, and we'll be talking with her today. The three books that she's written are Soul Mastery, Soul Reunion, and Soul Radiance, and the latest one is called Soul Reunion, The Return Home from Separation. Susan, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much, Richie. Wonderful to be with you.
Oh, likewise. Thanks for being on the network.
Of course. And you might hear a little bit of my parakeets in the background. I hope that's music to your ears.
Well, I'm sure that's music to your ears every day.
They like to pipe in whenever I start talking.
So they're talkative, too.
Yes.
They just want to tell us what's up.
I think so. I think they probably know better than us.
Sometimes, huh? Can you start off by just telling us a little bit about your work and the kind of underlying principles here in your books?
I'd love to. So the name of my work, which I've been doing for almost 20 years, is Soul Mastery, and it relates to helping people get in touch with their soul gifts and strengths and purposes. I do plural to the purposes because I think we have many purposes while we're here on this wonderful planet, and helping them to not only get in touch with those gifts, but learn how to embody them. Embody those gifts, be in the place where they feel like they're living a soul-directed life. And the reunion part relates to the fact that we have only suffered from the fact that we've been disconnected from our soul, from spirit, from all that we are. And as we look at all our suffering and limitations in that light, we recognize that, oh, if I just get reconnected in this place where I've been disconnected, it's an easy, breezy way to turn things around.
Just get reconnected, you say.
Yeah, but I give people tools for that, so I don't, I'm not glib, like, just get reconnected.
But is it easy to do? I mean, is it that simple? You just kind of, is it something you just turn on, or is this like a process you go through?
It's a little process, it's not long. You know, my little red toolbox is pretty efficient. But that's why I write books, is to give people those processes, because I feel that we need to be, in essence, what I call spiritually self-sufficient. You know, people say it's all within you, and yes and no, that is true, but it's only within you if you are connected to that sense of divinity and universality that we really are meant to have as a part of us. Then we can say it's all within us.
The power to create our lives.
Yes, exactly, exactly. That power is a universal power, and where we've been separate from it, we have difficulty in our lives.
Can you explain a little bit about the work that you do? I mean, is there some specific things that you do?
Oh, there's a million things. I do it through workshops, through individual sessions with people, through all sorts of things, helping people get in touch with their more in touch with their intuition. But a key with it is that we have what I call a soul essence, this place that is an expanded sense of self that we want to get reacquainted with. So I take people on journeys to that soul essence to connect with it so they know where they can go to get the resources for the spiritual qualities of life that they're missing. We're all just missing what I call spiritual qualities of life. Let me give you an example, if you'd like, as it relates to manifestation, for instance.
Please.
Because anytime we're suffering, we're going, well, I can't manifest that, or I can't have that, or I don't get to have this, or whatever it is that we're whining about. And we're all, you know, have those moments, as spiritual as we are. So we have this feeling that I can't, I'm helpless to it, it's not happening, etc. But if we look at what it is we want to manifest and look at or create, I like to use the word create more than manifest. Manifest is getting way overused. If you look at what you really want in life and start to look at that longing, which there's nothing wrong with, as a longing for a true quality of spirit, a true quality of experience, it's much easier to get that fulfilled. And that's where you get connected to your soul essence, which is providing that for you. Let me give you an example. So if you say, oh, I need a new car, you know, or a new job, but let's start with new car. I need a car. I just need a car so badly. If I were to ask a group of people, well, what is it you're looking for when you say you want a new car? It is usually a sense of something different for everyone. One person wants luxury. One person wants economics. A green car, someone else wants a sense of greater safety. It's amazing how different it is for everybody. So if you connect with the qualities of spirit, or just one quality of spirit that you're really looking for when you say, I want a new car, then the universe and your soul can actually help you get in touch with how to get that much easier. Much easier. Not easier. Does that make sense so far?
I think so.
Okay. So what we're looking at is the fastest route to get what we want and have the greatest support in being able to get it. Because I bet everyone on the call has tried all sorts of intentions and feeling what it feels like and all of that, and that's fantastic. But when there's a sense of inner knowing that you have it, already, and it's like, yeah, I'm embodying that feeling of being the car, holding that car to be the absolute safe thing that I've been looking for. When you have that and you're holding it on the inside from a soul perspective, then it can't not manifest. It has to. That's just the law of the universe. It reflects exactly what's on the inside within us.
Do you ever feel like people maybe are drawn to these things for somewhat materialistic or, you know, rather than what you might call spiritual or growth kind of things?
Oh, definitely. I think that was one of the objections to the movie The Secret, that it felt as though people were going, well, gosh, you know, maybe I'll try a spiritual approach and that will help me get all the material wealth that I'm looking for.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. Let me try a spiritual approach because nothing else has happened.
I mean, I don't think the Forbes top 500 necessarily are, you know, the world's most spiritual people, but they're very rich. <you know.
laughs> That's true. That's right. That's right. So everything can easily get misused, so to speak. You know, we're human. So people will misuse power all the time, sadly enough. But what we're talking about is a kind of power that is a true divine power that we all have access to, that is the true longing. We really are longing for that. And even the Fortune 500 people who are very rich, it's an interesting thing how they're always looking for more, always looking for more, and there's never a sense of satisfaction. And they feel like they have to bring everyone else the more, the more, the more, the more, which again is a sense of they're not satisfied because they're still looking to have everybody have more, which means they're just on a drive to survive, as I call it.
Or maybe they're just, yeah, manifesting physical things, but what they should probably be manifesting is, how do I become happy?
Exactly, yep. How do I become happy? And I believe that when we are connected in a deeper place within us and embodying the sense of the qualities of spirit that make us happy. Happy is a quality of spirit. Really, the thing we really want is to feel happy in our lives, in all the areas of our lives. We just want to feel fulfilled and happy, and that is a quality of spirit.
So, as a writer about manifestation, I how do you kind of come up with new ideas for every book? I mean, it seems like it's kind of a there's one core idea there. What are the differences between the three different books that you've written here?
Oh, okay, great. And to answer your question, how I come up with them, well, you know, I am very intuitive. I happen to be guided more intuitively than anything as to how to come up with new creative possibilities for tools, etc. And at the same time, I also get my material from working with clients. Their souls, their gifts, will open things up in me, which is really exciting. But let me tell you the difference in the books as well. So Soul Mastery, the subtitle is Accessing the Gifts of Your Soul. So that relates to being able to access your soul gifts, understand them, and be connected to them so you can feel what it is to feel understood and seen in your life purpose. The second one, Soul Radiance, that came out of going, all right, so once you know your soul gifts, that's really fantastic, but I bet you'd like to embody them and feel like you can live from those places. And that's the obvious next step, is to feel as though they are so real that you live from those places, and that's what I call a soul-directed life. So that came next because everyone was saying to me, I want to feel like it's part of my life, and I realized that that is the true, the true reflection of spirituality is being in love with life itself, feeling as though your spiritual life and your physical life are one thing and not two separate things. So then I realized that for all this time I have been considering the fact that the only wound, the only thing we really work with that we are missing is a sense of disconnection. Wherever we are not connected to our soul gifts and strengths and sense of self, that's where we suffer. So third book, Soul Reunion, came from that feeling of it's time to get reconnected and how to do that in those places where we haven't felt connected. And so, therefore, we couldn't embody spirit. So you see the natural progression, which makes it a trilogy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of am seeing the third book seems a little bit like the first.
Yes.
Is it kind of coming around full circle again?
Well, it does, and here's a different approach. I know usually people say, well, we have to clear the path, we have to clear the blocks, we have to open up the chakras and all of that first and get rid of the bad juju. And what I have discovered is when you get in touch with your spiritual resources, when you get in touch with your true qualities of spirit that you love to be in touch with, say, for instance, joy. When you get in touch with joy and feel what it's like to hold that in your body, you value that so much that the old naturally falls away. And it's a much more creative approach than to always be healing, 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 clearing, clearing, clearing. Because what I've found over the years is everybody is getting really tired of doing all this inner work of taking care of this and getting rid of your stuff about your mother, your father, then you find out you have stuff about your siblings, then you find out you have stuff about your current relationship, and you could be working on yourself until you're exhausted. And it's like, how are we going to do it differently? Well, when we get in touch with what we're longing to have in our lives first, and then fill ourselves with those qualities of spirit, it starts to reflect in our world, and then we don't care that our mother didn't treat us perfectly and we didn't get fully nurtured. We feel nurtured from within and from a universal perspective. Hmm. Do you see how that works?
Well, yeah, I'm getting what you're saying. When I look at the progression here of your books, I guess your first book, I think I'm seeing that, it's like becoming or realizing sort of in yourself what you want to begin with so that you could bring it to life. And then I guess the third book is more of kind of a you know, deeper questioning of the same kind of ideas. Like, you know what you want already. So this is like trying to find, I guess, like happiness now.
Yes, I can see where you're going with that. What I have discovered is when we start getting in touch with being, let's use joyful again, when we touch that essence, we have a moment of feeling full of joy, whether it's on a roller coaster or ride when we're a child or a romantic relationship or earning our first paycheck, whatever it is, where we just light up inside and go, oh, this feels so fabulous. Yes, this is what I want to fill my life with from the greatest place possible. Then what starts to happen is we have parts of us out beyond that sense of joy. We have parts of us that we have held in place as protection mechanisms, or parts of us that have felt like, no, it's not possible to be joyful, or I will get hurt if I'm joyful, or let's stay small, because when I was a child or in another lifetime, when I tried to be big, I got hurt for it. So let's not go to that place of joy. We will have parts of us that keep us out of that paradigm that we're wanting to create of joy. And that's what we have to work with in the place of separation, is what parts of us are not on board with the joy that we want to create.
Okay.
And in the Soul Reunion book, I work with giving people simple tools to get reconnected in that moment when we have a part that goes, oh, you know, I'm so tired of trying to find a new job. I think I'm just going to quit. And that's just a part speaking. That's not all of us. That is not the depth of us at all. Does that make sense?
Anytime you're giving up on something.
Yeah, it's not you. It feels like it's all of you giving up, but it really isn't. It's just a part of you that's going, I'm tired of trying to make it. It just never works for me. And then you listen to that part and you fall down. Now, most therapists would go, yes, we have to analyze that. We have to look at it. We have to find out where it came from. We have to work with that. And then you give all that attention to that tired part.
Hmm.
So what I do with people is help them to go, let's listen to that tired part for a moment, understand that it's there, but give it what it's really looking for, which is connection to joy, so it doesn't have to hold tiredness so much.
Right.
It's a whole new way of looking at it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you believe that all our wounds are ultimately derived from separation from spirit?
Because in my 20 years of working with people, it all seems to have that branch. They're all branches of separation, and it makes it so much easier. I've worked with people with MS and cancer, deep emotional abuse issues, etc., and when they get connected to their soul essence and the qualities of spirit that they're missing in their life and start to fill that in, they actually heal even deep physical things like cancer and MS at the deepest level, and it's permanent. It's permanent change. It's filling them with what they were looking for in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So
I find it interesting. There's even in our DNA, a psychological mechanism that seems to affect that. You know, they've discovered that people who are happier in their jobs or who actually, it seems to be a connection between how much authority you have in your job.
Mm.
If you work for yourself or have subordinates rather than sort of work for someone else, you actually have a lot less likelihood of getting a heart attack. So people, when they feel empowered, they've discovered that actually is like the number one thing for extending their life and you know, keeping them from developing disease. I thought that was really interesting, you know, in connection with what you're saying.
Yes, I agree completely. And just to take add a few more words to that, it's about being in command of your life. When you feel at a deeper level that you're in command of your life and you're not a victim to anyone else and their behavior, etc., then you are creating real health in your life. And that's the best thing for the immune system as well.
Mm-hmm.
The immune system suffers because we feel victims and helpless and something out there is going to harm us, etc. That's when we start feeling weakened in our life.
What are some of the tools and methods that you use in your work?
Well, as I say, one of the key ones is helping people to get connected to their soul in a very easy way. It's quite remarkable.
Yes, how?
Well, I will take people on what I call a journey to their soul essence. And the fun part about that is that the soul essence, it takes about 3.5 minutes to get there.
Okay.
And I joke about that because I will do this with people. I would go to expos sometimes and all sorts of little events. And, you know, we'll do it collectively or individually. You know, a person has 10 minutes and we get connected to their soul, give them what they're longing for, and let them embody it and within 10 minutes. Because we don't have time to do it otherwise anymore. We don't have hours to so-called meditate, et cetera, et cetera.
I was going to ask that. Is it a guided meditation of sorts?
It is. I call it a journey. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I call it a journey, and I give people the opportunity to connect with the best of themselves. And that's why I call it their soul essence. And that is the tree trunk that allows them to have connection to everything, everywhere that they want to manifest from.
Do you journal then after that to kind of keep a record of what you're discovering, or what kind of things happen when that?
It's so fun. Well, it just because it's experiential, and I help people to bring it into their heart and their body, so they feel what it's like to be connected to home base. A sense of the expanded nature of all it is, or a sense of power. When you embody that, and it's a universal dimension, it's not going away. It's yours to keep. It's your soul gift. When you feel that, you have a completely different perspective on how to live your life. You not just view your life differently, but you walk in the world of your life differently. And that is being in command of your life again.
Yeah. Is that the home that you refer to when you say return home from separation?
Yes. Yes. What I've discovered over the years is many people feel as though the movie E.T. Phone Home was very real and true for them, that they have a longing to return to something they don't know what it is. And that's part of why we crave a sense of home and family. And hate when we lose our physical home, hate when we're away from our family. There's a sense of, wow, what I'm really missing is a sense of connection to the home base within me that my soul gives me.
Is that why you think a lot of religions have used a sort of either father or mother God as a, you know, kind of a symbolic representation of our desire to return home again?
I think that's a really great perception, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because there is a feeling as though we have, well, there's exactly what you're saying, because they represent sort of the figureheads of the home, but also there's a sense of that in the, we'll call it the divine design of things, just to use a loose term, parents were meant to represent God to us. They really were supposed to be designed to, you know, imagine a child comes in and their parents show them what God looks like, we'll call it, the divine looks like in a human form. That's true divine mentoring. That's what mother and father are supposed to represent to us and provide for us. So we are always looking for that mentoring. Who is going to show up? And so religions have created that person, that figurehead that's going to show up to get them back to God. And, of course, as you know, it's often very tainted with a lot of belief systems that are very filled with dogma, etc. But there is a truth to it. Yep.
Well, I know that there's a lot of things that could be taken wrongly from religion, and you can kind of get led astray, I would think, somewhat by that. But do you feel that your philosophy, you know, syncs with any particular religious philosophy, or can actually, you can believe whatever you want if you do this, or would certain people have trouble?
Yeah, I think you were. You can believe whatever you want. Absolutely. When you're living from a soul perspective, you're living in a what I call the field of unlimited possibilities, and your belief systems will continually change and expand naturally, which is all part of being connected spiritually, is you're connected to an expanded field. So you will change the nature of how you think continually and what you believe. So anything goes, and thank goodness we keep changing it all the time. So anything works.
Can you tell a little bit about the Sacred Heart and the chapter in your book devoted to that?
Oh, I'd love to. You know, the Sacred Heart is such a beautiful space to connect to experientially and to understand about. And when I started to discover the Sacred Heart, it was like, oh my goodness, this is like the Holy Grail. Because people will have asked me for years, well, where's the soul, and how do I get in touch with it, and how do I hold the resources of connection to spirit within me so I always have them? And there, I have discovered that there is this space behind the human heart that is the Sacred Heart. It's like a chamber. It's in a little slightly different place for everyone. But it's in that general area back of the heart, and it's why the spine goes out a lot there, because we're empty in that place. And so when you go into that place, it's like the middle of the pyramid. It can be. Now, often people will go in there visually, in a visualization, and it'll feel dusty, or there'll be a stone in front of it, or a feeling like, gee, I lost the key because they've been so disconnected. But in that place, there's a sense of stillness and peacefulness, and it's like a reservoir where you can bring in all the joy, all the power, all the abundance, all the prosperity, all the opulence, what splendor, whatever qualities of spirit you want to bring in. You get to hold them there, and you have them as resources to live your life from. It's an amazing place.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a whole different, I think, philosophy than probably anyone has really ever mentioned. That's kind of neat, to the idea of actually kind of holding positive things in there as a way to, I would think, help you go through your life in a more joyful and connected way. Whereas, yeah, I think maybe most people probably are pretty wounded there, or have lost touch with it.
Well, they've lost touch with it, and then they've guarded their heart with their human heart, which is like that analogy in the Bible of the stone in front of the tomb, I believe. Mm. It's just the analogy that I see sometimes. It's like the stone is rolled in front of it, where we protect ourselves from it because we don't want to get hurt, but it's only the human heart that can get hurt. It's only the human heart is the physical heart in combination with our emotional stuff that we can get hurt in that place. But when we start to pour joy into this reservoir and then radiate it through the Sacred Heart into the physical heart, then that's the way to truly heal the wounds of separation that we feel in our physical heart and our emotional heart, same thing, our human heart, that make us feel like we can't open to love. And if we can't open to love, then we can't open to divinity, because love is a divine quality.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. It is. And, you know, I take people on 3.5-minute journeys there, too, so they can start to open that space again. And that is the place to live from, where there is a sense of true compassion and a true sense of connection to all that is and everyone, where we have a sense of connection to the essence of everyone without feeling like we have to be connected to everything that they are, because that's false.
It is amazing how love can solve all problems, isn't it?
Yeah. And we know that when we feel a sense of love, whether it's for an animal, a bird, or a person, something shifts in us where it's like nothing else matters. And we've had all these tragedies in the world, and it always draws people back to love. It's like, okay, so I just lost my house. At least I have my family. Or, you know, the tsunami just came through, but I have what matters most to me. It draws people into really getting in touch with their health, their life, you know, the fact that they are alive and the people that they care about are still alive. And we keep having to have all of these situations happen until we get it, what really
matters. To sort of see
matters.
The positive even in the worst situations.
Yeah, that there is something that never dies. There is something, a flame that never burns out, so to speak. It's always brightly available.
Do you believe in the concept of enlightenment? I mean, in the kind of Buddhist sense?
Well, you know, my terminology for enlightenment is to be in love with life itself. Because mm-hmm. we came to this planet to have a human experience and to embody spirit. Anywhere else in the universe, we could be out there being an essence of spirit, a quality of spirit, but we deliberately came here to say, I want to taste, smell, touch, see, sense, use my six senses like the City of Angels depicted. I want to be alive in a human body and try that adventure on for a few lifetimes. So to me, enlightenment here is to be alive. And when you look at the people that you are inspired by in life these days, they are alive. You know, they're loving their life. They hold a sacred reverence for life. And, you know, like the Dalai Lama.
So being alive being a little more than just breathing.
Exactly. The Dalai Lama is, you know, active and alive and smiling all the time. Nothing is too much for him. He's engaged. That's another word for it. Engaged in life. Not challenged by it and saying, oh, that world out there, it sucks. I think I need to stay on my lotus pad. No, you're engaged in life and you find the joy in it wherever you go because you're living from the inside out, which is joyful and powerful and in command of your life.
If you don't mind me asking, how did you come up, or I mean, this kind of method, do you feel an homage to any other methods or philosophies in any way?
Let's see. You know, I really have not. I have looked at many ways of being over the years, and I will be inspired by them, but I have not found a one thing that says more than another. I think part of my soul mission is, as I mentioned, spiritual self-sufficiency, that we really can connect to all the answers through our connection to the divine.
Mm-hmm.
All of these pieces are stepping stones for us, absolutely. I don't think there's anything that's bad, wrong, et cetera, unless we give ourselves away into something.
Mm-hmm.
But there's truth in every religion, every philosophy, everything that exists, there's a truth there, and there is something that is a wound of separation as well. And we get to discern what resonates for us and what doesn't.
Thank you. I'm just interested in that. I mean, some people might, you know, call you New Age or something, you know.
Or woo-woo even. Yeah, I know. It's really fun. I love that people would call me that. You know, I talk in my first book, Soul Mastery, about the worlds we came from before coming here. It doesn't get much more woo-woo than that. But, you know, I loathe the idea of being a New Age person. I'm like, I am not a New Age person. I am a normal human being. I'm connected.
Mm-hmm.
And I love being connected, and that's it. I love everything about life.
So all of the all of your kind of philosophy comes with from within and from your own experience of you know, of delving into spirit and yourself.
You know, I would say a lot of it relates to being listening to the intuitive voice of my soul and learning how to do that and getting more aligned with that and knowing that there is a huge universe, there is a divine, there's the power of love, there's God, whatever you want to call it, wanting to speak through us. We are naturally meant to channel those larger dimensions of mm-hmm. ourselves. When we get in touch with that, our lives become magical, miraculous, and synchronistic.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing so much with us. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about where they can find your work and how to get in touch with you?
I'd love to, and thank you so much for the fun of this interview. It's always great when people ask these really great questions that make me sort of roll up my sleeves and have to, you know, dig into what does this really mean to me. So thank you for that. So getting in touch with me, Google. Soul Mastery, you can Google Soul Mastery. The website is soulmastery.net. So if you forget the .net, just Google Soul. You can Google Soul, you'll find me. Susan Taylor Shire, you'll find me. And my website has oodles of free things, books, MP3s. The books are not free, but free things that I put on the website. And I talk about different workshops that I have available through recordings, et cetera, and all sorts of trainings and fun things like that that you can explore and create from and see what resonates with you.
You seem like a busy lady. You've got lots of things going on there.
I'm creative. I'm not busy. I'm creative.
Okay.
Yeah. I enjoy my life, and I just keep creating new things. And, yeah, it's really fun.
Can you tell us, a little bit about your classes and workshops that you do?
Sure. Yeah, I have, you know, a whole slew of them because I've been doing this for a while. I have a workshop, Union with the Sacred Heart. Right now I'm doing more teleclasses than live classes because that seems to be what's in vogue. My latest teleclass was Create the Life You Love, and I'll be doing another one of those very soon. Create the life you love, because that's what we're moving out of the field of survival, which the recession has been about, into the world of creation. And I do workshops on living a soul-directed life, workshop on igniting your intuition, the voice of your soul, learning to read the Akashic Records, learning how to do the soul work that I do, individual sessions with people on everything and anything, how to get a soul perspective, how to get in touch with your soul gifts. And the other workshops that I do are really just about living from your soul essence. And that's the Soul Radiance Workshop and the Living a Soul-Directed Life Workshop. So, yeah, I have all sorts of them. And they're all available, as I say, in downloadable recordings, so anyone can do them for themselves at any time. And, of course, I'm always available to travel and do things one-on-one with people, for sure, or be with your group.
Oh, wonderful. So you do it would be do you do a speaking kind of engagement?
Absolutely. Or? Yeah, as you can tell, speaking is easy for me. Mm-hmm. It's not one of my fears. And I do speaking engagements I have been. In the last year, it's been quieter that way. Again, it's been teleclasses in all the things that I do. But I travel and speak and do workshops, et cetera, for people. Yeah.
What are the Akashic Records?
Ah, the Akashic Records are the records of all knowledge for all souls for all time. So it's a way of tapping into intuition, psychic abilities, the ability to work with yourself at a soul level and work with others at a soul level and get soul level knowledge and wisdom, which I think is really accurate.
That sounds really cool.
It is. It's really amazing because once you're connected to the Akashic Record field, I call it, then the information you tap into intuitively is soul level. It's not just energetic. It's not just connected to the energy of the moment, your aura, you know, and I love tarot readings and all those fun things, but I love working at the level of the soul because it's like the soul DNA. It doesn't lie.
So this is it kind of like you're answering yourself for questions when you're like accessing the Akashic Records?
Yes. You're working with beings that are an aspect of you and getting connected to the larger dimensionality of you that you have been separate from. It's like, oh, wow, I'm supposed to be this expanded and this large. That's right. And these beings are just working on my behalf in another dimension.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool. I was wondering that because I heard about that when I was young, the whole idea that you can sort of ask a question and then your soul will answer and you'll be amazed at the answer you get. And so I've kind of always done that.
Uh-huh.
But I never really called it like the Akashic Records, I guess. You know, but I guess that's what it is you're accessing that universal field of consciousness that kind of connects all mankind throughout all time and space.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And when you are in that field, you do feel connected to everything, everywhere, all time and space, which gives you that sensation of unlimited possibilities to create from. Mm-hmm. And that's what is needed in this world right now, because we all have felt, and the biggest struggle I find is a sense of limitation, like I don't know how to do this, or I feel limited in a physical body, or I don't have what I need, I don't have the support, I don't have the money, I don't have the this, and I don't have the that.
Right.
Once you start getting connected to that field of unlimited possibilities and start to embody that, and that's, I will take people on journeys to that field and start to embody it and go, oh, I have a choice here. I can live from that place. I just got disconnected from it. Then you're much freer in your ability to create and come up with creative solutions and draw things to you you wouldn't have otherwise.
I hear that a lot from people, the whole I'd do what I want if I had the money and this. And I always one thing that I've realized, at least in my life, is that it doesn't take money to do things. It takes people to do things. And when, you know, you actually start to just open yourself up to the possibility that you can get things done, as long as you don't necessarily have to feel like I have to buy my way into doing this, but you get people to understand what you want done. And then suddenly, you know, you're amazed at how everyone wants that done too, and how it's starting to manifest just from people doing it. You know, it doesn't necessarily like need money to get things done. Like I use the example of when we started a farmer's market in our community here.
Oh, great.
And you know, you can't like imagine how wonderful it was. All these volunteers just kind of came out of the woodwork who all wanted to be a part of it and do something for the community. And I think you can find things like that in many different aspects of your life.
That's a great example. And the way I see it is that what you're doing is moving into a place of where you feel creative. this is what I want to create. And when you're in a whirlpool, so to speak, of creation, you will draw others, and the wealth that you need, which is lots of levels of wealth, not just monetary wealth, that you need to help you create. That's why it's so important that we're getting out of this recession and starting to create again and going, man, you know, the monetary system is going to take a while to shift, but in the meantime, I got to get creative here.
Right.
I have to get creative, because that's all that's waiting for me, is to take myself out of survival and move back into the level of creation.
Yeah, I think a big thing is freedom from fear, you know, and the idea that we are not good enough or something to be able to do that.
Oh, we've got bucket loads of fear. And again, the best way to work with fear is to connect with what you value more. And when you flood yourself with, like you said, the creative nature of, I want to have a farmer's market, you might feel a little fear, but you go, this is more valuable to me than the fear of going, I don't know how it's going to work out. When you go, I don't know how it's going to work out, you go, when I'm disconnected, I don't know how it's going to work out. But when I start getting connected to my creative nature, you go, oh, I know what I want to create here. And creative ideas come with that sense of being connected again. It's just being connected to your creative nature, and you start to bring in new possibilities.
Yeah.
Magic, not fear.
It really is magic, and people maybe don't realize sort of how, you know, this world is a magical place, just being in it, and that, you know, you can create anything by working together with others and just maintaining a positive attitude and having good ideas and wanting to help others.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Everything outside of human consciousness in separation is very magical. Life itself is extremely magical.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely. We just have to look around and go, whoa, I just need to get connected to that essence that supports all life. And there I am. My birds are going at it again.
All
and
right.
There I am. there I am in that sensation of magic, and I'm going to hold that for myself no matter what.
Well, thank you so much, Susan, for sharing yourself and these books with the world. And I know you're bringing a positive impact everywhere people encounter you. So keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you in it. We're doing the same thing in different ways. It's wonderful.
Can you tell our listeners once again your website and
certainly
everything about how to get a hold of your books?
Great. Soulmastery.net. And the book, Soul Reunion or Soul Mastery or Soul Radiance, is on my website, Amazon, any bookstore, you name it, you can find it. So enjoy and let your soul direct you as to what resonates with you today and what you want to create.
Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome. Great to be with you.
Have a great day.
Thanks so much.